Whilst serving and training with Bodhidharma, Ekka one day told him, "I have by now severed all my karmic ties." Bodhidharma said, "You are not denying the law of karma, are you?" Ekka answered, "No, I am not." Bodhidharma asked him, "And how can you be sure of this?" Ekka replied, "Clearly and beyond doubt, I have always known. Words cannot approach it." Bodhidharma said, "This is the original nature which the Buddhas have apprehended. Do not let yourself doubt it ever again." Ekka was a man from Bura. His family was of the Ki clan, to which the legendary Yellow Emperor had also belonged. Before Ekka was born, his father, whose name was Seki, the silent or solitary one, had often told himself, "Since my family respects what is good, how can it be that I have had no offspring?" For a long time, he prayed for a child. Then, one night, he became aware of a strange light illuming his bedroom and his wife, who consequently became pregnant. Whilst growing up, the boy was given the name of Ka, he of the light, or the radiant one, because of the auspiciousness of the illumined room. Even from childhood, his spirit did not follow that of the herd. For a long time, he lived in the area between the rivers Ai and Raku, near the ancient capital, and was an avid reader. He took no interest in family affairs, but preferred to wander the countryside, constantly lamenting that the teachings of Confucius and Lao Tzu were merely rules and regulations for social manners and arts, and that the writings of Chuang Tzu and the Book of Changes had still not covered the subtler truth completely. He left home to become a monk and took the precepts under meditation master Hajar, he who treasures quietitude, of Dragon's Gate on Fragrant Mountain. He floated around listening to the discourses of various teachers, extensively studying the principles of both the greater and the lesser vehicles. One day, whilst reading a Buddhist text on Prajna, he rose above its literal meaning and grasped its deeper significance. After that, he passed 8 years sitting in meditation day and night until, in the midst of his tranquil silence, he saw a solitary divine being who addressed him, saying, "Are you on the verge of receiving the effects of your training? So So why tarry here? Supreme enlightenment is not far off. Go to the south. Realizing that this was spiritual guidance, he changed his name to Shinka, he of the divine light, or the divinely radiant one. The next day, his head ached as if it had been pierced with a spike. When his teacher tried to heal this, a voice from out of the air said, "This is an altering of the skull bones. It is not an ordinary pain." Shinka, at length, told his teacher about his having seen a deva. When his teacher examined Shinka's skull, it looked as if it had been the five peaks of Mount Sa upon it. "Thereupon," he said, "you have an auspicious sign. Undoubtedly, you will realize an authentic enlightenment. The devas commanding you to go to the south refers to great teacher Bodhidharma at Sharingi. Without doubt, you will become a master." Having received this instruction, Shinka traveled to Sharingi on Mount Sa, arriving on the ninth day of the final month in 528 Common Era. Bodhidharma would not permit him to enter as his disciple, so Shinka stood outside the window. That night it snowed heavily. Standing in the snow, he awaited the dawn. The snowdrift buried his hips. The bitter cold pierced him to the bone. His teardrops froze as they fell. Seeing his own tears only increased his feeling of coldness, and regarding his reflection in the window, he thought, "Those of old who sought the way broke open their bones to let others feed upon the marrow, pierced their veins to slake the thirst of others, wove their hair into a mat to protect the Buddha's feet from the mire, or threw themselves down some precipice to feed tigers. If those in the past acted thus, how should I behave?" Through such reflections, he unflagellingly spurred his resolve. Upright he stood without moving. At dawn, Bodhidharma, seeing that Shinka had stood in the snow all through the night, asked him, out of compassion, "What do you seek that you would stand in the snow for such a long time?" Shinka answered, "Only that out of your compassion you will deign to open the gate of sweet dew to me, so that I may ferry all types of sentient beings throughout the world to the other shore." Without giving him so much as a look over his shoulder, Bodhidharma retorted, "The unsurpassed, wondrous path of the Buddhas requires kalpas of effort and diligence. Being able to practice what is difficult to practice, enduring what is hard to endure. How can you, with your meager virtues and puny understanding, with your frivolous heart and lazy mind, dare to wish for the true vehicle? In vain do you strive and toil. Shinka, hearing this compassionate instruction with tears streaming down his face, was ever more eager in his determination to seek the way. Unseen by Bodhidharma, Shinka took a sharp sword and cut off his own left arm at the elbow. Bodhidharma, realizing that Shinka was a vessel for the teaching, told him, "All the Buddhas from the first sought the way. For the sake of the teaching, they disregarded their bodies. You have now cut off your arm in my presence. You are capable of seeking it." Because of this act, Bodhidharma changed Shinka's name to Ekka. He with the capacity for wisdom, and finally allowed him to enter as a disciple. Ekka served Bodhidharma unswervingly for 8 years. Once, Ekka asked Bodhidharma, "Great teacher, may I hear what you have to say about the Dharma seal of the Buddhas?" Bodhidharma answered, "The Dharma seal of the Buddhas cannot be obtained from another person." On another occasion, Bodhidharma told Ekka, "Outwardly, sever all karmic ties. Within your mind, do not pant after things. When your mind is like a wall, you will be able to enter the way." As Ekka was wont to speak of original nature without connecting this with the underlying principles of the way, Bodhidharma would simply cut off his errors and, for his sake, did not discuss the original nature of the mind, which is free from discriminative thought. It says in The Indescribably Skillful Devices from Within the Master's Quarters, "Once, whilst Ekka was attending Bodhidharma, they were climbing Scant House's peak when Bodhidharma asked, 'Which way does the path go?' Ekka replied, 'If you will please go straight ahead, that is it.' Bodhidharma responded, 'If you try to go straight ahead, you will not be able to move even one step.'" When Ekka heard this, he realized enlightenment. At the time when, as related above, Ekka told Bodhidharma that he had by now severed all karmic ties, and Bodhidharma had replied that he should not let himself doubt it ever again, He at last gave Ekka both the kesa and the teaching, saying, inwardly, transmit the Dharma seal by which the validity of enlightenment is realized within the heart. Outwardly, pass on the kesa by which the authenticity of our line is established. Accordingly, after Bodhidharma entered perfect rest, Ekka continued to spread the profound teaching of his master's line. When giving the teaching to Seisan, he said, I still have residual karmic troubles that I must by all means pay for. Having entrusted the teaching and the kesa to Seisan, Ekka began to preach the law in the nearby capital city of Ye, since circumstances seemed appropriate. Members of all four groups, male and female monks, laymen and women, took the refuges. He passed 30 years in the following way. He would hide the light, cover his traces, change his appearance, enter some wine shop, pass through a butcher's doors, stop to listen to the local gossip, or go about with the humblest of menials, the outhouse cleaners. Someone once asked him, are you one who has realized enlightenment? So why do you behave like this? Ekka replied, what I am doing is scrutinizing original nature. But how does this concern you? Later, when Ekka was expounding the essentials of the Dharma outside the main gate of Kayakyoji, a veritable forest of monks and lay people, male and female, gathered about him. At the time, Dharma Master Benwa was lecturing within the temple on the Nirvana scripture, but his flock, learning of Ekka's preaching of the Dharma, left one by one to go and hear him. Benwa, persistent in his resentment, gave vent to slanderous accusations against Ekka before the district magistrate, Teki Chekan. Having been led astray by these improper remarks, Chekan used unlawful means to inflict capital punishment on Ekka, who submitted to all this with a cheerful spirit. This occurred during the Sui dynasty, on the 16th day of the second lunar month, 591 Common Era. Superior and inferior are not distinguished when it comes to the exalted virtues of the ancestors. Even so, Ekka ranks as one esteemed among the esteemed, revered among the revered, for the reason that, even though Bodhidharma came from the West, it would have been difficult for our lineage to come down to us today had Ekka not passed on the transmission. His hardships have exceeded those of others. His determination in pursuing the way has surpassed that of others. Even Bodhidharma did not speak for a long time as he waited for Ekka's genuine potential to ripen. Above all, he did not point out or explain anything for him. He just said, outwardly, sever all karmic ties. Within your mind, do not pant after things. When your mind is like a wall, you will be able to enter into the way. When you can truly bring a halt to a deliberate thought in this way, you will manifest your original nature. Hearing what I have just said, you may try to become mindless like a blank wall, but this is not taking a close look into your mind. This is why Ekka said, clearly and beyond doubt, I have always known. If you can be exactly like this, this is the significance of what the Buddhas have apprehended. When you are able to sever all karmic ties to the outside, the myriad deliberate thoughts will cease to exist within. Be alert, and it will not be obscured from you. Rest beyond doubt, and it will be clear to you as the source. Do not distinguish between past and present. Do not separate self from other. Without departing even the slightest from what the Buddhas have realized, or from the heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind transmission of the ancestors, it has come harmoniously. Therefore, it was transmitted from India and to the West, to the lands of the East, and spread from China to Japan. This is how it was in the past. This is how it is now. Do not yearn for the past or idle away the present. Just train. Do not think that the time is long gone since Shakyamuni, the wise one, passed away. Do not give up on yourself. Here are my humble words that try to express an example of this. Do you wish to hear them? Empty yet resonant, all earthbound thoughts exhausted, it is beyond doubt alert and clear, always still and bright.